KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have partly sunny skies, 72 degrees. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today with a high around 88. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, Creston police arrested a Red Oak man Thursday morning. 52-year-old Jeffrey John Musk was arrested at a residence in the 800 block of Birch Street in Creston on a charge of failure to appear on a prior charge of criminal mischief in the second degree. Musk was being held in a Union County jail on a $2,000 cash-only bond. Officials of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said Thursday 39-year-old Kathleen Ann Beckman turned herself into the Sheriff's Office in Council Bluffs late Wednesday morning. Beckman was wanted on warrants out of both Pottawatomie and Muscatine counties, along with a non-extraditable warrant from the state of Illinois. Beckman was transported to the Pott County Jail. In addition, three inmates at the Pott County Jail were presented with additional arrest warrants before being turned back over to corrections staff, and two men held in other jails were transported to the Pott County Jail to face separate charges in the county. A crash in Fremont County involving a motorcycle has claimed the life of a Nebraska man. The Iowa State Patrol reports a 2012 Volvo semi driven by 38-year-old Margie Carolla Castro of Houston, Texas, was eastbound on Highway 2 in the left lane and preparing to turn left out of the northbound I-29 on-ramp when Castro failed to yield to a westbound 2006 Harley-Davidson motorcycle. The cycle, operated by 38-year-old Andrew Charles Boardman of Nehaka, Nebraska, ran into the right side of the semi with the intersection of Highway 2 and the I-29 northbound on-ramp. Boardman died at the scene. Authorities in western and southwest Iowa are investigating separate burglaries and thefts from an ag equipment dealer. Police in Shenandoah say a burglary took place last Saturday evening at Better Equipment in Shenandoah. The suspects entered the building a little after 8:15 p.m. and in a security camera video were seen loading into a trailer tools and equipment worth anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000. Most of the items stolen were steel brand equipment, including leaf blowers, chainsaws, weed eaters, trimmers, and other materials. Police were working to try to get the license plate number pulled off that video from pulling the trailer. A similar break-in and theft occurred at Better Equipment in Ottawa. Anyone with information about the burglary at the Better Equipment in Shenandoah is asked to call Shenandoah Police at 712-246-3512. Elsewhere in the news, Adair County Auditor and Commissioner of Elections Mandy Berg reports that on Tuesday, June 9th, the Adair County ASVP Board will meet at 9:30 a.m. at the Adair County Courthouse in Greenfield to conduct a post-election audit of the voting system used in the June 2nd primary election. The audit is required under the Code of Iowa and is open to the public. Cass County Food Policy Council is looking to purchase local produce, meat, honey, syrups, and more to distribute throughout the Cass County COVID-19 Mobile Food for All program. The council plans to feature local foods in mobile food deliveries throughout the week of June 15th and is seeking local food growers and producers who can supply local food products for roughly 100 households. For example, a farm might supply 100 jars of honey or 100 half-pound bags of radishes. Cass County COVID-19 Mobile Food for All program delivers foods to households in Cass County that need assistance affording and obtaining food safely as Iowa faces the COVID-19 pandemic. The program is funded by a grant from the Iowa Economic Development Authority and involves many dedicated volunteers who pack and deliver the food. Local food policy member, Councilmember Gil Gillespie, says Cass County COVID-19's Mobile Food for All is an important program serving more than 100 households in the county. It's an opportunity for the council to also support local food producers by buying their products to contribute to the program. Local food producers interested in participating in the program should contact Cass County Wellness Coordinator Brigham Hoig by calling 712-249-5870 no later than June the 8th. Funds are limited, so not all interested producers may be accommodated, and all food must be delivered to the Cass County Community Center the week of June 15th. The Iowa Department of Public Health today reports 316 additional positive cases of COVID-19 for a total of 21,022. The number of deaths since Thursday increased by 10 to a total of 589. Out of the 179,808 Iowans tested for the virus, 158,391 proved to be negative, and 12,436 people have recovered from the virus. RMCC data show 299 are hospitalized with COVID-19, 102 are in ICU, 23 were admitted over the past 24 hours, and 62 were on ventilators. The IDPH also said the number of long-term care facility outbreaks went back down to 40. At those facilities, 1,535 patients and or staff have tested positive for the virus, 786 have recovered, and 294 have died. In the Cass and surrounding counties, there are currently 12 cases of COVID-19 in Cass County, but 10 of those have recovered. 9 in Adair County, with 6 having recovered. Adams County reports 7 total cases of positive COVID-19, with a total of 4 recovered. Guthrie County has 54 cases. 30 of those persons have recovered. Montgomery County, 10, with 6 recovered. Pottawatomie County, 317, with 193 recovered. And Shelby County had 37 positive cases of COVID-19. 33 of those have recovered. A new report projects Iowa hospitals could lose $1.4 billion between March and September due to COVID-19. The report found 90% of the state's hospitals operated in the red between March and April, largely due to not being able to perform non-essential procedures. Marty Guthmiller, CEO of the Orange City Area Health System, says even with millions in state and federal support, some rural hospitals will close.
While it's difficult to predict, it's relatively certain that we will lose some hospitals in Iowa simply because they do not have the capacity to withstand a downturn in revenue.
Guthmiller says the CARES Act funding his rural hospital has received so far has only covered operating expenses for 36 days. While much of the financial impact is tied to revenue lost when the state halted non-elective procedures, there are other expenses. Unity Point Des Moines CEO David Stark says his hospitals are still losing money due to COVID-19 from doing things like staffing entrances to screen for virus.
We're staffing every one of our facilities 24 hours a day and taking temperatures and asking screening questions. For our organization alone, that's a $2 million expense that we certainly didn't plan on.
Stark says his hospital is losing revenue as it continues to limit procedures and set aside beds for COVID-19 patients. The report was done by a Minneapolis accounting firm and was commissioned by the Iowa Hospital Association. Governor Kim Reynolds says state officials are providing new guidelines to nursing homes as they may reopen to visitors. In early March, long-term care facilities were closed to visitors to reduce the risk that residents would contract the COVID-19 virus.
This time of separation has been extremely difficult for residents of long-term care facilities and their loved ones. I've heard stories of spouses that have been married for over 60 years who have rarely spent a day apart until these last 3 months, of sons and daughters who worry that they're missing precious time with an elderly parent.
The governor says there are also concerns about how social isolation is impacting the mental health of nursing home residents. Dr. Caitlin Padotti, the state medical director, says facilities will get advice from the state on how to handle easing some of the COVID-19 related restrictions.
Visitation of family as well as of healthcare personnel, trips outside of a facility, dining practices, and group activities.
Dr. Padotti said facilities will be advised to consider virus activity in the vicinity before making any changes. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.